The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter, begin with the 43rd verse. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jacob dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." I'm giving you fair warning. Since I am in this pulpit today and next Sunday, there will be no jokes. However, we will start with a song. So I'm going to ask my song group to come up. There we go. This is an easy song. You'll be able to follow along with us.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross.
Now, our ancestors in the faith, especially in the colonial era, did not have hymnals, and the pastor would, in order to get the congregation singing, would speak the line of each hymn, and that's called lining out. So we're going to do that, and I would ask you to join in. And the refrain is, every verse ends in "Soldiers of the Cross." So every round goes higher, higher. I'm going to repeat that. Every round goes higher, higher. Okay.
Every round goes higher, higher. Every round goes higher, higher. Every round goes higher, higher. Soldiers of the cross.
Sinner, do you love my Jesus?
Sinner, do you love my Jesus? Sinner, do you love my Jesus? Sinner, do you love my Jesus? Soldiers of the cross.
If you love him, why not serve him?
If you love him, why not serve him? If you love him, why not serve him? If you love soldiers of the cross.
We are climbing higher, higher.
We are climbing higher, higher. We are climbing higher, higher. We are climbing higher, higher. Soldiers of the cross.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross.
Okay, thank you. That was the fun part of colonial services. The sermons were up to 3 hours long. There was no heat in the building, and the pews were wood with straight backs. So, we have the African American slave communities to thank for this song, and I hope we honor them appropriately with our feeble attempt at singing. I don't know how high a ladder would have to be to reach into the very heavens, but I do know for myself that anything much above 6 feet is off limits to me anymore. After an incident trying to replace a smoke alarm battery, I now let my fingers do the walking, to use an old image, and call Golder Ranch to do the deed when necessary. But back to Jacob. And some background information might help explain the circumstances around his wondrous dream that he had. God's intentional story of involvement with humanity for the purpose of blessing began with the patriarch Abraham and his wife Sarah. They had a son, Isaac, who in turn had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Now Esau was born the first of the twins, and therefore was, according to custom, to be the recipient of his father's blessing before Isaac's death. It was a huge deal back in the day to receive this blessing. But Jacob was a conniver and cheated his somewhat impetuous and unthinking brother out of the ancestral birthright. Mama Rebecca had a favorite child, again Jacob, and plotted to get her dying husband's final blessing for Jacob, which she did. And now brother Esau is in a rage and was overheard plotting to kill his brother to get revenge. So like a good mother, Rebecca told Jacob, you soon be best on your way. Go to my brother Laban until Esau cools off. And Jacob is now leaving Dodge when he had this dream of a ladder extending into the very heavens. Perhaps it's the fault of the stone pillow he used trying to sleep. But in his dream, the angels, the messengers of God, are ascending and descending. And what is so extraordinary is that God appeared in the dream and made two promises to Jacob. First, that Jacob's descendants would inherit the land upon which he lay, and secondly, that God would never abandon Jacob throughout his eventful life. Well, upon awakening from sleep, Jacob declared that God was indeed in this very location, and that he, Jacob, was afraid. He was filled with awe, a feeling we have somewhat lost when approaching the God of Israel. Well, then Jacob took the stone pillow, poured oil on it, and established Bethel, which would become a sacred place later on for the Israelites after the Exodus and the conquest under Joshua. Jacob would travel further and spend years with Uncle Laban. He would continue his manipulation of Laban to get his way and eventually return home to be confronted by Esau. As I said, Jacob was a conniver, using deceitful ways to keep ahead of the crowd. He was really living out his name because the name Jacob means the deceiver in Hebrew. Imagine introducing Jacob to your mother. Mom, meet he who will screw you over. But God promised to be with Jacob because Jacob bore the promise of blessing given first to Abraham, then Isaac, and now Jacob. Many years later, upon his return home, Jacob would wrestle with a mighty creature at the creek called the Jabbok and receive a new name, Israel, which means he struggled with God. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Did you hear what Jesus called Nathanael? The one with no deceit. Now, as we have learned, names in ancient times held great meaning and complemented the personality or a personal aspect of the name bearer. Abraham, father of a multitude. Moses, drawn out of the water in remembrance of his being saved by Pharaoh's daughter. Jesus, Yahweh saves. And Nathanael, gift from God. And again, perhaps a bit of explanation in the gospel story. Jesus says that he had seen Nathanael sitting under the fig tree even before Philip had mentioned Jesus. Now, this does not mean that Jesus had some superhuman vision in that he could perhaps see through walls and the such. Sitting under one's fig tree is an expression used by the rabbis to indicate the person was living the life of a good Jew, following the law of Moses to the best of one's ability. And therefore, Jesus recognizes Nathanael as one, truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. But it is Nathanael's declaration of faith who Jesus is what is most compelling. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." In other words, Nathanael echoes what Philip had told him earlier. "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And this is the tie-in with Jacob's ladder. Jesus declares, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You see, God has given Nathanael the blessing of recognizing in Jesus the long-expected Messiah, the hope of Israel for centuries at that point in time. No longer will the Holy One be bound to a certain place, Bethel, site of Jacob's latter dream, or even Jerusalem. No longer need Israel look further into the future for its Redeemer, for in Jesus the promises of God have come true. Jacob said in awe, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Nathanael could have said that, but God has blessed him. God granted him this knowledge about the one whom he had doubts at first. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Today is, as I mentioned, the second Sunday after the Epiphany. The trees are down. The lights are packed away. Life is picking up its crazy pace again after the interruption of Jesus' birth. And yet God continues to reveal to us exactly whom he has sent to bring us to our senses. Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem. Jesus, the one who identifies with all of humanity in his baptism at the River Jordan, and who was identified by God himself as the Son. Jesus, the one for whom Israel, and indeed all of humanity longs, declared as Messiah by Nathanael. Here in this very place, Jesus is revealed for who he is. And you know what? You can't believe a word of it unless you trust for yourself what the name Nathanael means, God has given. So let me quote Dr. Luther, and he says this in his small catechism, "I believe that by my own strength or reason, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him." There it is. I believe that I cannot believe. But then Luther tells of the gift God has given. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and preserved me in true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and preserves it in union with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. You see, our simply being here is cause for celebration, not because you have dragged your tuchus out of bed on a cold January morning, but because each and every one of us has received a gift of faith, which Nathanael so early in John's gospel proclaims, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." Indeed, we see the angels of God ascending and descending, not upon a place in ancient Palestine, but rather on Jesus, and by our extension of our baptism into his dying and rising, upon us also. We are climbing higher, higher. We are climbing higher, higher. We are climbing higher, higher, soldiers of the cross. As I mentioned earlier, this African-American song is a spiritual. It's probably well over 200 years old now, and it came out of the slave communities. The slaves gave the hymns that helped sustain them in their newfound Christian faith two different meanings, one of which was spiritual, increasing one's knowledge about God and a call to deeper discipleship. That was safe in explaining it to Massa, who stood in the shadows and listened to what the slaves were saying. The other meaning became a type of code language meant to sustain the slaves who were not just yearning for freedom, but were willing to act to escape bondage. Climbing the ladder is code language for a call for even greater sacrifices in reaching the next level, escape from slavery. God's promise to Jacob was also understood as a way to freedom. And so the slave would ascend the ladder. Every round goes higher, higher, closer and closer to escape and freedom. And descending the ladder, God has come down to us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, fulfilling the promise of the ages, that when Jesus is among us, humanity is restored to what we are meant to be, merciful, kind, compassionate, and concerned about our neighbors. Thanks be to God for the gift of the music in the spiritual and for coming among us in the Son, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.